Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for drawing us together. Lord, bless this time that we have here today and looking at your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are wrapping that of Romans. Sometime back, we've had some in between times here now, but I was looking at how God will use us. He will crush Satan under our feet. And when we were back in Romans 16:20, this is about 4 weeks ago now, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And that of the Passion Translation, and the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. And that wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. Powerful, encouraging words. Amen? And I know, you know, it's like, well, gosh, I'm still dealing with a lot of stuff, and I'm trying to pound Satan and deal with these things. And, you know, we got to keep the good fight. Talks about the good fight of faith. We have to continue on with these things. And we looked at regards to several scriptures in that, and I don't know as far as trying to bring it all to where we're at today, other than today I want to look at the areas that were the defeat of Satan. You know, we have heard many times over that you're battling a defeated foe. Well, if he's defeated, how come he's raising so much hell in my life? Well, he's defeated, but he's still running around right now. But there's a defeat coming, you know, when that final time comes and he's cast into the lake of fire. But until that time and revelations and the tribulations and all those things, we have him still working his little mojo in this world. And he's going to continue to do that, and he still has that reign to do that. But we've got the power to help us deal with those things in this life that we are dealing with here today. And many times I've shared over and over that we all have different things happening in our life, adversities and problems and hurts and trials and struggles and pain and sorrow. Some would have it maybe more severe than others, and it's not to diminish what you're going through and what I'm going through as anything different, because each one, it affects you, right? And so we've got to understand that. You know, you would hear somebody going through a hardship, and you go, that ain't nothing compared to what I'm dealing with. And so we start getting in comparison. It's like, my hardships are more than yours. I got to write the way I feel, because this is me, and you've got a little hangnail. Big deal. You know, that's the way we look at some of these things. But when we look at it, we've got to look at everybody is going through something. But the answer is Christ. The answer is that he is with us, that we have. I've got the victory. Oh, hallelujah, by that of the blood of Jesus, I have that victory. And it's trying to keep myself in that victory, because I got to keep myself built up. How about you? You know, it's not easy, but it's doable. It's not a fast way of growing sometimes, but it's an ongoing journey with the things of God and dealing with stuff that we begin to get stronger and develop a layer of like something around us that it's like, okay, these darts and these things are going to come, but God and his shield around us will repel those darts. Amen? We've talked times and in Thursdays, and John's going through it quite well about the battle and the things and the battle and how we're dealing with it with Ephesians and the armor of God and the helmets and the breastplates and the shodding of all these things that we have, and all of that material or all that you know, the material things that speaks of in the Word of God, the shield and thing, it's our faith. You know, the sword is the Word of God. This is our weapons right here. The Word of God, the very essence and the very Word of God is a weapon. And so we as children of his have to be able to take this weapon out of its sheath or whatever, or out of the box or whatever the case is, whatever kind of weapon you're going to use, but you got to take it out and you got to use it. Or you have at least got to know you've got it available to you. Even sometimes in our churches, I feel like we have a lot of struggles and I don't know the struggles that come about, but it's like we've got to keep on keeping on. Don't throw in the towel. That's what Satan wants you to do. And the thing is, he sees you wearing down. He sees your weakness. He hears your words of discontent with maybe, "But God, why is this? Well, God, how come that? Well, if you're God, why are you putting me through all of this?" And Satan loves to hear those things, especially from a follower of Christ, because it lets him know that he is winning, that the God of this world is winning in your battle and what you're going through. You're telegraphing to the Satan that I am starting to get discouraged. I'm starting to get beat down. It's easier said than done, I know. That's why we need the family of God to keep all of us in prayer. We got to call the reinforcements around us. Amen. Prayer, we got to gird ourselves up. We got to pray. We got to have people with us to pray on our behalf when we're going through a difficult situation. Because I think everybody in this room, looking across here to there, and as you're looking at each one in here, you're wanting that person to succeed. You are wanting that person to succeed. You want to lift them up in prayer when they're going through a financial crisis, through a health crisis. Whatever the crisis is, you want them to succeed. And it takes the army of God, but it only takes God to really do it. And it's our faith and our trust into Him that He will do it and He will see us through it. We've got to somehow remain strong. And I think some of those areas that we remain strong in is through Sunday school. We've been kind of going through scriptures about the battling, being pressed and hard-pressed and all of these things happening to these Christians and all. But Paul is so powerful in what he keeps reiterating to the different churches and communities that he's in. And we read in Psalms David and how he shared many times about the things of God and God is our stronghold and how even the Word of God says, "I will not leave you and I'm going to be there, you know, for you." We have got to know that God is there with us. We have to realize that it says in God's Word, if it weren't true, why would it be there that He said that He would put Satan under us and we could crush him? There's a reason why, because it happens. God didn't just throw that in there just to make it sound good and to kind of keep us, you know, bidding our time here on earth, like, "Oh, well, I'm gonna crush Satan." If you go into it with a lackadaisical, like, "Well, I'm just gonna crush him. Yeah, that's what his word says." No. If you say it in a time of authoritarian of saying, "I have that of God, I've got God on my side," and God's word is explicit about that. That you've got to be strong into that to be able to call it out as it is and not do the patty caking of thinking like, "Well, God is God and this is all sweet by and by and, oh, well, I'm just going to go through this." And we've got to remain strong. But it's hard. But when we look at some of the scriptures to where we see these things, the defeat of Satan. Satan is destined to fail and his continuing rebellion against God. As he is rebelling against God, he's rebelling through you to rebel against that of God. He's wanting to plant these seeds of discontent and discord. He's wanting to plant these things of doubt. And he wants to get that little wedge between you and God to where you begin to wonder if there is a God. Or if there is a God that really cares about you. I want to reinforce that God does care about you. His word says it, and he's not a liar in his word. But you're going to come back at me and say, "Well, Tim, it doesn't feel like it. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what I've had happen. Now what?" But God is still God. And we got to trust and believe that there's an outcome coming, that we go through a lot of things. But the thing is don't stay where you're at. Continue to keep marching forward. Take care of those things. Be aware of the surroundings, whatever the case might be in your life. But Satan is destined to fail. It's in Luke 10:18. I got this here. Luke 10:18 speaks of it in this. Now, this is in Luke 10. It's where, in the beginning, it talks about the 70 have been sent out. And then in verse 17, Luke 10:17, my heading above that says, "The 70 return with joy." In verse 17, it says, "And then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. You got to know whose name you're in. You go battle Satan in some of these areas, and you say, well, I am battling you in the God that Paul talked about. You ain't going to go far with that. Well, God. No, you got to go with who you have got, that of God. Paul shares about that to encourage us and to give us examples. But you have got to be able to have that same God in your arsenal of weaponry. And you go in there to the point, but it says, and Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And in verse 18, Jesus said, and he says to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I remember way back with Mark Brendenkamp, he would be up here a rocking. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, from heaven, from heaven. Now, when we look at this, this is not a vision in which Jesus saw Satan cast totally out of heaven. Rather, he saw in their ministry the present and ultimate defeat of Satan. In their ministry, we know in heaven he's going to be cast out. He's going to be cast out and thrown into the lake of fire. But here, we're looking at in Luke 10:18, and Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. My footnote in the study Bible of this New King James says, this was not a vision in which Jesus saw Satan cast out of heaven. Rather, he saw in their ministry the present and ultimate defeat of Satan. In your present day struggles, there is a defeat of Satan. We look at scriptures a lot and we go, oh, well, it's going to be great in the end times. It's going to be great in the great tribulation. It's going to be great when, you know, New Jerusalem comes down and everything is good and this and that and all these things that happen. But what about now? What about now? What about now? Anybody worried about what about now? I'm living here now. I want to know, what about Tim? What about what I'm going through? How many here say, hey, I'm going through something now, and I need a now word from God? What Jesus is saying here is, I saw Satan. So it's like he saw in their ministry, the 70 that went out, the present and ultimate defeat of Satan. You can defeat Satan through that of Jesus, because he's already defeated. Jesus already defeated him upon the cross. But we got to hold that true. We got to hold that close to us. And we got to believe that. Don't just say it. You've got to believe it. You've got to live in it. You've got to stand on it. You've got to trust in it. You've got to eat it and chew it, whatever the case is. But it's a day in and day out thing that I saw the victory through that of the cross. In John 12:31, we're going to scamper through some scriptures here, looking at some of this defeat. This is where Jesus predicts his death on the cross. And it starts in John 12:27. Now Jesus speaks, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Even Jesus was trying to say, hey, save me. But I do realize, Father, this is why I'm here. Verse 28, Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven saying this, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. It's not a one and done thing. I've done it, and I'm going to do it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, oh, an angel has spoken to him. In verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. In verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And then verse 32, If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Verse 35, and then Jesus says to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. But in 36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. We've got to walk in the light. We've had messages about we are the light. You know, the armor, I think, well, about a couple months back now, wasn't it? Like the armor of light. You know, this was in Scripture that really got me going about, you know, we put on the shields and things and the helmets and all the thought processes there. But in that one area of Romans, it says, put on the armor of light. We need to walk in light. Are you walking in the light of Christ? And if you are, it dispels the darkness. And so we go forth marching forward. Hallelujah. I'm going to just, Revelation, just real quick, I think. I don't know, we get into Revelations. But 12, and then we'll stop. We'll go somewhere else here about the defeat. Revelations 12, 9. What does that say? And so the great dragon, Romans 12, 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who what? Deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He deceives the whole world. The devil is a deceiver. The devil likes to imitate or try to make you believe these things are happening, but it's all by deceptions. It's like a magician when they try to make, I don't know how they do it, how they make a 747 disappear on the runway. I don't know. But how these things happen with magicians and magic and all of this stuff. But all of it is, it's just a mirror of things, of deceptions and things. And while they're talking to you about this, something's happening over here that you're not paying attention to, and then all of a sudden it's gone. I don't know, but I'm just saying it's a deception that the magicians use. And that's what the devil is doing. He is deceiving you. He has deceptions and things that he has at his arsenal. And I tell you what, he's a pretty good deceiver. He is good at deception. He probably got, you know, like A plus in that class or whatever on how to deceive people. But as we look at this, the final defeat of Satan is due what? From the death upon the cross. You know, we look at that in Hebrews. The thing is, knowing that how we can crush Satan, Satan has already been crushed. And he's just kind of, his little mims and him are just out here just trying to create any chaos. You know, we talk about things in our natural world, of things around our communities and all, and you find a bunch of people, a mob mentality and things, and they get out there, and all they're doing is just what? Producing chaos. They don't make sense what they're yelling about and whatever they're shouting about and what they're all having. You get 300 people out there, there's probably only five that really know what they're doing. The other 250 people or whatever, they're just there because, hey, I just saw these people gathering. But, you know, there's just that mob mentality and so much deception and so many things going on. In Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in that same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, that of the who? Devil. The ultimate purpose of Christ's incarnation was the destruction of the devil and deliverance from the fear of death. That's why Jesus came, to destroy the devil and to give you life in eternity, so that you would die, but you would come back to life as that of now we're salvation, you know, knowing where eternity lies for us. There's either heaven or hell. There is no in between. And so people got to make a decision. People need to know where life is at. This life here that we're going through is life, but it's not the real life. The real life and the things that's for what? Eternity. Is that of heaven or hell? We are, as you know, my goodness, many times we look at it and people, the vapor that we are. We're nothing more than just a wind blowing through the land. Here today, gone tomorrow. Anybody that's had any experiences, we all have, of losing a loved one in life, my goodness, I just talked to them yesterday, and today they're gone. What happened? And then, did that life ever exist? You know, pretty soon years go by, and it's like you think of all the people that have gone on before us in this world. But this is just a temporal stopping place to do the work of God. That God has placed us here so that we can help others, that we can direct others to that light that should be exhibiting from us of the gospel, the good news. Jesus came to cleanse you of your sin. Jesus came to rebirth in you your spirit so that you would be reborn again and reconciled back to God. In 1 Peter 3:18, and the Christ's suffering, and it talks about our suffering as well. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also we went and preached to the spirits in the prisons. And he's talking about what they went out and did as serving, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. So here again we get back. Christ suffered once and for the sins, for the just and for the unjust. He that knew no sin did what? Become sin for us. We've been there already. Romans 16:20 talks about our strength as a Christian to have victory over sin has been provided through the death of Jesus on the cross. The assurance that we have is that God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. And that's where we ended up this whole thought process of starting in Romans 16:20. The personal victory lies on our will to resist the Satan's temptations. Our victory relies on our will to resist what Satan has. In Ephesians 4:25, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Give place to the devil would be this, as possibly as far as looking at that. Nor give an opportunity to the devil. I think sometimes in what we do, we give opportunity to the devil to come in, don't we? You got to owe up to it, guys. We open the door, the devil comes in. We put ourselves in positions and places that allow that to happen. Sometimes it's like so sneaky because he's pretty sneaky how he does come in. But ultimately we open the door and we allow him to come in. Maybe we don't open it fully. We just crack it. I mean, tell you what, if somebody's knocking on your door and your spiritual door or whatever the case is, and if you don't know it's the Spirit of God wanting to, you know, come in, you know, ask the Spirit, should I open it or not? And if you're Spirit-filled, it might be, don't open it, because it's the old slewfoot. He's knocking on the door, and we're just going to crack it to see who's there. And he puts his foot in the doorway, and that allows enough of him to enter in. And then he begins to have and wreak havoc in our lives. So we've got to look at this. Do not give the devil opportunity to come into your life. Keep yourself away from that. God has provided the things to defeat that of the devil. We've maybe already been there, or we've been close to it. In Revelation 12:11, talks about the power of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the very blood of Jesus, is the power that we have for us today. It's a cleansing blood. It washes us white as snow. The continued prayers of Jesus in heaven for the believers. You know, in Hebrews 7:25, it talks about, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to what? make intercession for them. To make intercession, it's let's see here. The idea of pleading with a person on behalf of another, although at times the petition may be against another, but that making intercession. But God, Jesus, is making that intercession for us. He's the great intercessor. But as we pray, and it talks about, therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession. Where is he at? The right hand of God. Taking our petitions and our prayers to that of the throne. We look at in Galatians, and we're not going to really visit that. You've been there in 5:16 about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. And he comforts us, and he gives us the strength, and he gives us the word of God in us. For he leads us into truth, and he leads us into the things of God within us that he can, he's kind of like, you know, we call upon the, oh Lord, send the Holy Spirit, send the power of God through the Holy Spirit into our lives to help us stand strong, to be able to crush the enemy under our feet, to get us through a tragic time, to get us through a hardship, to get us through whatever it is. God wants to see you succeed. God wants to see you come through this particular area of your life. And we all have these areas of our life, but God wants us. And we've got to still proclaim, I've got the power. And I've got the victory. Oh, and I've got it with Jesus. Oh, though the world shake and though everything goes out of balance within the world, and my life with that of God through that of Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit, I can keep a sure foot within that of the realm of what God has for me. You can do that same thing. Anybody can do it. It's not easy. It's not easy. Probably wasn't easy for Jesus to go to the cross because he said, hey, Father, if you could, would you take this cup from me? But then he realized, but not my will, your will be done. He put the Father before what he wanted. And we in our lives here, we need to put the Father before my wants. I got to put the Father before what I desire. Now, I think one time a few weeks back we had in Sunday school talking about the desires of our heart, you know, and we kind of began to share within some of that, and sometimes you're thinking like, well, what my desires of my heart before I came to Christ was probably a little different than what my desires are now that I have come to Christ. So as we have come to Christ, our heart changes, and our desires in our heart change to get away from what Tim's desire is to where I want to know what God's desire is. That's why he says, renew your heart. That's why he says all of these things with you. I will put a new heart in you. I will renew your mind. God wants to do all of these things because he wants to get us to where we are receptive and receiving right from him. And pretty soon my desires and my wants, they don't matter anymore. But my God loves me and I can't say that I'm not enjoying life. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't God good? But still, why do I struggle? Why? Good answer. Broken people in a broken world. And until he really comes back and takes us and does all that he's going to do, and as he's promised, we're going to do this, we're going to deal with this, and we're going to have this hardships and hurts and pains and all. But I'm going to tell you, when I read God's word in Romans and things of that nature, and crushing Satan, and even back in Genesis, talked about, I'm going to make, you know, bruise the heel and all that. I mean, God already had it all planned out, even like I think in chapter 3 of Genesis or something, I think already, you know. So he's got it all planned out, but we have got to be able to look at these things and trust him. A couple of things. We'll wrap up here in about 5 minutes. Maybe we'll get you started for your Labor Day weekend. Anybody got any big barbecues today? If so, let me know and I'll come over. It says our victory over the devil here on earth, it's accomplished through faith. Faith, faith, faith. What's that faith in? Jesus Christ. Not faith in my ability, not faith in my strength, not faith in my knowledge, not faith in what I can do, not faith in me. No, no, no. Faith. and that of Jesus Christ. He's defeated the devil. As followers of his, we too can join into that victory. You got to believe it. We look at how this is accomplished. You know, we need to live our lives aligned with that of God's will. Not my will, but your will be done. He tells us to resist temptations. His word tells us right to the crux of everything that we go through. Resist. Flee. And we need to pay attention to our spiritual growth. How many here pay attention to your spiritual growth? You know, we read up on all kinds of nutrients and minerals and this and that, and this is bad and that's bad and this is good and I'm going to do this. But do you pay attention to your own spiritual growth? It's up to you. It's between you and God. I can't get you there. Nobody in this building can get you there. Only you can get you there. But it's attainable. It's not hard. It's enduring. It takes time. It might be hard. But all I know is when I'm weak, he says he's strong. All I know is he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I feel forsaken, Lord. Well, that's because you're hearing the devil saying, are you forsaken? Did he leave you right where you're at? No. My word that God gave me and God's word is in me that he will not leave me nor forsake me. Greater is he that is in me. You got to be this, not just, don't just repeat repetition of scripture. That ain't nothing. I don't want you to repeat, oh, I know this scripture, I know that. You got to live it. You got to get it into your depths of you to where when you say that, you mean it, that when I'm weak, he's strong. Feels like I'm by myself. No, that's got to be a lie because God said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Why do I cry out, oh, God, where are you? He's right there with you if you pay attention. He's right there with you if you're spiritually maturing and growing in him. Am I saying wrong or is this something understandable? He's right there with us, but yet we like to say, oh, God, what's wrong with you? You better have an attitude change from the head up or neck up or something, heart up. Because if you believe in God, you believe his word, you will survive it. Oh, Pastor, it sounds so great. I'm not saying it. It's God's word saying it. Take it up with God. Kick him on the shins. I don't care. People say that, and I go, well, you know, my God's a pretty big God. He can handle it. But you better be willing to listen to what he tells you, and then you better change. If you're having problems, you better ask for more wisdom, more guidance, more direction. If you're weak and hurtful, you better pray for strength. My gosh, guys, I go through this all the time myself. I don't know what's wrong. I can go through and have great days to where everything is working well. I can get up and down in my chair. I can get out and walk and do this and that. Oh, my knee, oh. Or all of a sudden the next day I can get up and I go, where did my knee go? Where did that ligament go? Where is the strength in my legs? What's going on? It's a day in and day out battle. We're all in. But I don't go back to God and saying, well, God, why is this happening now again? You know what I do? Lord God, I pray for more healing in my body. Give us strength, heal it, heal us, renew us, me, whatever the case is. I don't care. We got to go back. Got to go back to the well. You got to go back to where you got, you know, that blessing. Go back to God. Call it back up. Because the first thing the devil wants you to hear is like out of your mouth is saying, well, I guess I wasn't really healed. Well, I guess it was just a temporary fix from God. Well, no. We got to be strong. And we got to keep praying. And we got to keep believing. And we got to know that that's okay. He's saying, I think I hear that song. He's going, God is saying, I'm on your side. I am on your side. God is on your side. I love it. We all are going through stuff. And I don't ever want to beat anybody up, but I'm just trying to get the Word of God into myself. And if you capture some of this, praise God. Because I go through stuff. It wasn't enough one time. He wants to hear it again. Caramba! I feel like a little Jamaica man. Oh. Next one will be the Jamaican bobsled team calling. But, you know, God is okay. God is love. God is good. I love God. God is fun. We laugh. We can laugh at things like that. People's phones go off. It don't bother me. I mean, I got two phones up here today for some reason, you know. It's like if one of these go off, I turn them down. But it's like, you know, I'm... But it's okay. But I'm just wanting to encourage us. Now, we want to... I said 5 minutes ago, and look what happened here, guys. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Another pastor's time of lying. Okay, quick. Aspects of our victory. The sacrifice of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Jesus' death, resurrection secures that victory. Faith and trust. 1 John 5:4. Believing in Jesus and trusting in his power allows believers to access. We got to have access to that victory. We got to have access to the power. Resisting temptation. James 4:7. Resisting the devil's temptation and then aligning yourselves with God's will. Believers actively participate in the ongoing battle. Ongoing, it says, battle against evil. It's not a one and done. The one and done is your salvation. Salvation, praise God. How about spiritual warfare? Ephesians 6, we talk about that in 10 through 20. Fighting against the devil's influences through prayer, study scripture, living a life that honors God. Focusing on heavenly things. Oh, there's so many things here. Colossians 3:2, keeping our minds on that of God and his kingdom can diminish the devil's influence. Keep your mind set on God. If nothing else, just think of God. Talk to God. Experience God in the natural things and out in the world there in your backyard and the trees and the clouds. Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit empowers believers with divine power to overcome. Oh, Jesus got a hold of me. Hallelujah. How about living a life of love? Oh, love. I can't love everybody. Oh, Ephesians 5:2, choosing to love God and others as Jesus taught, it's a powerful way to combat the devil's influence. So, considerations of this. It's a continuous struggle. While the victory is secured through Christ, the fight against evil is ongoing. That's ongoing, guys. Sorry to say that, but that's what it is. Individual responsibility. Each of us must choose to align with God, and we must choose to resist what the devil tempts us with. We got to look at God's authority. We got to submit. I don't want to submit to anybody. That's the hard thing right there, friends. You got to submit. Submission to God's authority is a key aspect of maintaining victory over the devil. Don't submit to the devil, submit to God. What about prayer? Prayer is a vital tool. Battling that of Satan. And then the Word of God. Here it is. Studying and applying the teachings in the Word helps believers resist and will help you crush that of the devil. Study and apply. Remember, that's the thing. You can study everything. That's why I say sometimes, you know, people get very learned on the scriptures and things, and, oh, I got this and that. You can learn it and study it, but are you applying it? Do you allow it to come out into your life? It does no good just to have it up here. It's got to be in here. Deep inside of you. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, for your love and care for us. Lord, as we all are going through various situations and various battles in our life, Lord God, I know you're there. We call out upon you and reach out for you, Lord. You're there. Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray for each one here today, Lord, and whatever they're dealing with, Lord, whatever it might be, spiritual, relational, financial, health, Lord God, that we are victorious. not in ourself, but we're victorious through that of you. And that, Father God, we will walk in that light. And Lord, we will trust in your word. And Lord, we will resist the enemy. And that, Father, we will practically and be able to practically put your word to work in our lives. That it's not just something to read and to think about and, oh, well, it'll be great when I get to heaven, but right now I'm just going to live in this pit. No, no, no. I'm going to walk and I'm going to live in your kingdom here upon this earth. Because I truly believe what your word says, Lord, and being a kingdom child, Father God, that, Lord, I should experience your blessing here, right now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And Father, bless the gift and the giver. We pray, Lord, that you will meet every need that they have. Meet the need as you continue in this church as well, through that of Jesus. Amen.